Welcome to the Jesus 360 podcast, a devotional guide to the names and descriptions of Jesus given to us by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Brother Daniel and myself, Blair Phillips, will be co-hosting today's discussion on Jesus, the one who is the King of the Saints, from Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, which reads, it says that they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the Saints." And that song continues for another verse. But Brother Daniel, today we're honing in to this phrase, the King of the Saints. And that this phrase is being sung. I'm just going to read verse 2 also here for some context. That John says that, "I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on that sea of glass, having harps of God." And so we have this picture of those who are probably martyrs, or who have died during the Great Tribulation, who are standing on the sea of glass that we saw in Revelation chapter 4, but there's a new element. Now we have the sea of glass mingled with fire. And then we have these saints who've been given harps. But I love this phrase. It's not just a harp, it's the harps of God. And with it, they're singing the song of the Lamb and the song of Moses. But they ascribe to Jesus specifically this phrase, that you are the King of the Saints. So Brother Daniel, share with us your thoughts and insights about this.
So I am thinking this is an imagery of the prayer room in Kansas City, the harp and the bowl. So they were looking at the kings of the saints, and they were singing song to him, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. We will record another devotion related to that. And so why are they exclaiming and calling him the kings of the saints? Because they realize that he is one of them, one of the saints, and he's their king. He's not just apart from them, he has the same resurrected body like them. He is the firstborn from the dead, he is the second Adam, and he has once become a human being and now permanently take on an immortal resurrected body. And more importantly, he is the mediator and the advocate for all the saints. He's on the side of the saints. The Antichrist will make a last-ditch effort to convince everyone that he is the highest possible expression of human being, but he's powered by Satan, and he's trying to deceive the whole world, say that I am the one fighting for your cause, oh dear human being. But lo and behold, the one that's truly fighting for the cause of all humanity, from every tongue, every tribe, every nation, from the very beginning, from the foundation of the world all the way to the consummation, is one person, the slain Lamb, who agreed to be slain from the foundation of the world, and who is willing to pay the price, the ultimate price, for the redemption and the eternal glory of all the saints. So he's one of us. He is one of us. And so that's very important, that we do not just see, okay, he's God and we're human, and so we relate to him as he's on that side, we're on this side, but the covenant has caused us to be one. John 17 is all about the Father in the Son in the Father, we in them and them in us, the oneness, the union, that covenantal union forever and ever. But when the saints begin to sing this, I see the picture of Daniel 7. Daniel 7, we saw that the little horn has made war against the saints. And the power of the holy people is shattered by the time Revelation 12 has been declared. And we know that the saints have been oppressed and is given into the hand of the little horn and the Antichrist for a while. But then the court in heaven was seated. And the Ancient of Days put before the court. And then the Son of Man show up in the vision of Daniel 7. And at that point, as the King of the Saints, he show up. And judgment will rule in favor of the saints because of the kings of the saints' advocacy and also mediation. So when we declare that Jesus is the King of the Saints, rightfully so. He's not just the King of Kings. He's not just the ruler of the kings of the earth. He's the kings of all the saints. We exclaim him King forever.
Amen and amen. Brother Daniel, wish we could record that and make that viral, because that was an excellent discourse on this. And I think of something. I mean, John is highlighting that. I'm guessing that the other saints in heaven are probably involved in this moment also, but John specifically highlights the group of people that have gone through the Great Tribulation. And these are people that, I mean, Jesus' warning that he gives in the Gospels is, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Beware, lest you be deceived. And that applies to all of church history. But these people who have gone through those last 7 years, those last 3.5 years, they have faced deception at its highest point, with Satan himself being cast out of heaven to the earth and fully giving his authority to a man. They've faced the coercion of the society to all the way to the point where they can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. They've faced economic pressures, governmental pressures, social pressures, family pressures, denial, and betrayal by their own families. And I think of these saints having made the purposeful, conscious decision at each level of pressure that they felt, as it slowly and even and sometimes rapidly increased. No, I believe in the man Jesus Christ that I have not seen, but whom I have read and whom I have experienced and am infilled by the power of his Spirit. I believe in him. And then doing it again, and then doing it again, all the way, for most of them, or a lot of them, even to the point of death. And so what great victory song do they get to sing when they do stand on that sea of glass mingled with fire, been given the harps of God to sing that he is the King of the Saints. He's real, he's a man, and he will rule over the earth.
Amen. So let me pray for our audience. If we have come to the Kings of the Saints, we must understand that even though he's the king, he's for us. If he's for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
As in Romans chapter 8 says, and because he's the Kings of the Saints and also our mediator and our advocate, and he's for us, we can boldly go forth in his name. You know, in country where there's constitutional monarchy as well as absolute monarchy, all the civil servants would have this title in front of them, in His Majesty's service or in Her Majesty's service or something equivalent. So in other words, we are all in the service of the Kings of the Saints. And Father, we just ask you in the name of Jesus, as you are the King of the Saints who are for us, help us to understand that when the enemy accuses us, we have an advocate that rises up on our behalf, just like in Zechariah 3, when Joshua the high priest was accused, just like in Job chapter 1 and 2, when Job was accused. Lord God Almighty, we just thank you that you always advocate for us, make intercession for us as the king, not just as the judge. So Father, we can rely on your authority, for in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So Lord, this day help us to understand how to walk under the authority of the Kings of the Saints, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We want to thank you for listening to the Jesus 360 podcast. We invite you to join us next time as we continue on through the names and descriptions of Jesus in the book of Revelation.
You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul.